Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This time on Vet Story. We think of it as the American holiday where we get together with family and friends around a table and we enjoy turkey and stuffing and the warmth of good cheer and the fellowship of our family and good company.
I wanted to have the turkey and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes, and you made it all sound so good. I thought they would say Willkommen, which means, you know, welcome in German. Instead, they said can't come in.
Leif Erikson, the Vikings, they made it to Newfoundland, Canada, in the year 1100, 1000, something like that.
Right. Did you say Leif Erikson? Because, as I recall, isn't he a singer from like the 70s?
That's Leif Garrett.
Leif Erikson.
Leif Erikson
was... What was that song he sang? Basically, it was the beginning of the end for the indigenous populace.
And I didn't think that was what I would hear on Thanksgiving.
Welcome to Vet Story. I'm your host, Phil Briggs, sitting alongside my colleague and Navy veteran, Eric Dane.
Hey, Phil, how you doing today?
What's up, brother?
I'm all right.
All right, here we are on the beginning of the holiday season, the countdown to tryptophan highs nationwide. Thanksgiving
Eve, as I like to call it. Thanksgiving may be my favorite holiday because it's all about eating and happiness and spending time with the family, and those are all things that I like.
Well, clearly you like to eat, so we'll get
really?
Into that in a minute.
You're mean.
Did I just fat shame you?
You're mean.
I think I did.
Oh, cold-hearted.
Don't judge a book by its cover, Eric.
Yeah, but if a book is too thick, nobody's going to want to read it, Phil. Norm MacDonald gave me that one. Thanks, Norm.
Ba-dum-bum. All right. Where do we begin? Thanksgiving. Let's start, first of all,
with the pilgrims.
Should we celebrate this holiday? Seriously, should we celebrate this holiday? This is the holiday where, basically, it was the beginning of the end for the indigenous populace of this fine country.
Not really.
I mean...
That was going to happen one way or the other. It's just how things worked back then. It was an age of exploration where, you know, the guys who had the guns, the germs, and the steel, they were going to move over and they were going to take over. What this holiday is about is actually the teamwork. The pilgrims would not have survived through the harsh New England winters that I'm very familiar with had it not been for the assistance of the Native Americans. Did that come back to bite those same Native Americans in the rear end? Yeah, I think you could argue that it did, but it's also a big part of why we're still here. They might not have stayed here, and that would eventually become the building blocks of the United States. The United States grew out of those original colonies out there in New England.
And it certainly wasn't a sure thing for us when we got here. I mean, the Jamestown goes back to the 1600s.
The Vikings, 600 years before that, made landfall.
I mean, many of them died in pursuit of those colonies.
Leif Erikson, the Vikings, they made it to Newfoundland, Canada, in the year 1100, 1000, something like that.
Right.
And eventually they were, kicked out. They were decimated by both the weather, the terrain, and the Native Americans that live there, or the First Nations people, as they're called up in Canada. It's not an easy place to live. In the modern era, it's not that difficult. Although, look, just last week where 6 inches of snow basically shut down New York City and made everything stop working there. So even with the modern era and the technology that we have, the weather can shut down life. And back then, man, there were no snow plows. You know, there was no heat.
Right.
Fireplace. That was your only heat. Problem was, you also lived in a wooden home. Fire in a wooden home. There were a lot more home fires back then. A lot of things going on. So, yeah, you know, different era. I think that's why we should celebrate the holiday. I don't think we can hold other eras to the same standards that we have today in any way, really.
Right. Well said. That's why I wanted to start with that with you, because I know you're a history buff.
I am.
But before we move on, did you say Leif Erikson? Because as I recall, isn't he a singer from like the 70s?
That's Leif Garrett.
Leif Erikson.
Leif Erikson.
What was that song he sang?
The Vikings did have some semi-permanent colonies in North America for a short period of time. I'm not sure exactly how long it was. But
so at no point was he on the cover of Tiger Beat magazine in 1977?
I'm not saying he wasn't. I can't verify that. He may have been on Tiger Beat for April 1005. I don't know.
Do you feel like we do?
Isn't that Peter Frampton?
That's Leif Erikson, man.
I'm pretty sure that's not true. Pretty sure you're wrong in a number of ways. Do you feel like we do? I'm pretty sure it's Peter Frampton.
All right, screw it. It's just history. It's over. Let's move on to more recent history that we can all remember. And as we celebrate Thanksgiving, of course, we think of it as the American holiday where we get together with family and friends around a table and we enjoy turkey and stuffing and the warmth of good cheer and the fellowship of our family and good company. Have ourselves a lot of liquor and some beers, and we enjoy each other. But it's not always the case. And certainly as veterans, we can all remember a Thanksgiving or a holiday anyway, where we were not surrounded by the warmth of a fireplace and family and friends. We were, of course, deployed somewhere. And I got to ask, you were deployed. You've been over there in the sandbox.
Not really. I was up in the mountains. There wasn't a lot of sand.
Okay.
I mean, there was.
You've
but
been
it
to
was
Afghanistan.
Like, it was dusty more than sandy.
What was it like Thanksgiving over there?
So I remember the Thanksgiving that I spent in Mazar-e-Sharif, Afghanistan, and it was either earlier that day or the previous day. I'd been outside the wire with an Air Force crew that was training the Afghan National Army's pilots and crew. Our Air Force were actually training the crew. Croatian pilots were training the pilots because they were flying old Mi-17 Russian helicopters. We were outside the wire. I went with them for a few of their trips where it was really interesting stuff, fascinating to see the interaction and to see the different things and to get shot at by the people that lived out in the mountains while we're up in the helicopters.
No, really?
Yeah. But that was Thanksgiving. I remember going to the American dining facility. I worked at a very international place, Camp Marmal. It was run by the Germans. There were Belgians, there were Swedes, Norwegians, all sorts of people around, and a lot of different dining facilities. I typically ate at the German one. It was closer to where I worked. They had Schweinebraten and all sorts of pork stuff every day that I enjoyed. So I'd go and eat there most of the time. But on Thanksgiving, I knew I had to go to the American dining facility. They had turkey. They had stuffing. They had mashed. The Germans didn't have any of that stuff. Turkey's never on the menu in Germany, really.
Well, the Germans also don't have Thanksgiving. So
no, that's true. Probably. So it's not their thing. So I went over there, but the two things that I remember are, one, my German coworkers, because I worked in a multinational unit, came with us, the Americans, and were turned away. The American dining facility, keep in mind this is Thanksgiving, with the spirit of friendship, togetherness, and working to get through struggles. They told the Germans, like, no, you can't come until after 9 p.m. or something like that. You can't do Thanksgiving dinner until every American is eaten. And I was like, this betrays the meaning of the holiday so strongly. And I don't know who made that decision, but it was one of those dumb decisions that you get while you're over there, essentially. So we all went back. We ate at the German one. And then later on, I was like, you know what? Screw that, man. I want to get my Thanksgiving meal. I'm going. Does anybody else want to go? Everybody else was like, no, we already ate. I didn't care. I wanted turkey. So I went over there and I ended up sitting with the airmen. I saw the airmen from the air crew that were training the Afghan National Army on the Mi-17s. I went down and sat with them and had a Thanksgiving meal over there, which was good. I won't say it was great. It was good. I mean, it was as good as you would expect a Thanksgiving meal to be at a dining facility in Afghanistan. But, you know, my biggest memory, though, was that kind of irritation at the Army. And I suppose what they were thinking was, well, what if we run out of the food and then we have, you know, this is our holiday.
We wasted all the turkey on you Germans. Dang it.
But it's also, you know, that's what the holiday's about. It's about that teamwork and togetherness, you know, the pilgrims, as we talked about earlier. And this wasn't like some fancy club.
No,
this
was
Thanksgiving dinner where I wanted to share it. And the Germans had never had a Thanksgiving dinner before. They were really excited.
Do your German impression.
Why, Phil? Why would they not let us have the turkey? I wanted to have the turkey and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes, and you made it all sound so good. But then they said, no.
Nine.
You can't come in here. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. I thought they would say welcome in, which means, you know, welcome in German. Instead, they said can't come in. And I didn't think that was what I would hear on Thanksgiving. I'm not thankful for the way we've treated Phil.
Are they still mad about World War II? I mean,
oh, like, God. that's a touchy subject for the Germans, so that wouldn't come up. And what I learned that time was Thanksgiving's more about who you're around. It's not about the turkey or the stuffing or the mashed potatoes. We ended up going to the German dining facility and eating pork like we did every single day over there with our German friends. And I was thankful for their friendship and for you know, them watching my back and all that good stuff.
Oh. All right. Good times, man. I am thankful for you, pal. And it's been a fun fall, dude. Let's keep doing this here on this podcast.
I don't know if I'd use the word thankful for you, but I'm there's another word that's similar. I don't know. Whatever that word is. We'll go with thankful. I'm thankful for you, too, bird dog.
Jerk. All right. Now that we've covered Thanksgiving history and some military-themed memories of the holidays, let's look ahead and see what else we can talk about that's Thanksgiving related.
If it's a presidentially pardoned turkey, I mean, that's kind of special.
I mean, how do you even make money off that? Like, somebody just got to feed these damn birds and they just walk around and... I mean,
Congress probably has a special fund just for presidentially pardoned turkeys.
Welcome to Vet Story Thanksgiving Edition. Sitting here with our VA reporter, Jonathan Kopanger.
Hey.
Good to see you, man.
Nice to see you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Right. I want you to have a happy day regardless, but, you know, here's
grateful Thanksgiving maybe might be better.
Here's to having a grateful Thanksgiving. I am grateful for the article that you recently published that is more than just your traditional holiday piece.
Yes.
It's more than just, you know, Thanksgiving trivia. It's actually a useful game for everyone for the Thanksgiving holiday. Talk to me about how that works.
Okay. So normally I'm the chef for Thanksgiving. I take a week off of work. I do everything from scratch.
Whoa.
I don't want anybody near me while I'm cooking. And then once everything's done, then I could breathe. But I haven't done that for a few years. I just needed to take some time off. I feel useless. So what I've done is I've come up with, it's just 10 questions
right.
at trivia. And there's a point to it. Whoever gets the least amount of answers on Thanksgiving Day has to do the cleanup.
Oh.
So the way this goes, and we'll test it out with you, test your Thanksgiving knowledge, but the way this goes, you get one answer for every correct answer, or 1 point for every correct answer.
Right.
But if you get one wrong, you get a point taken away. I have extra credit in here as well, so you get 2 points for every extra credit one you get right, but 2 points taken away if you get it wrong. Do you have a pen? You're gonna keep track of this?
I suppose I could.
All right, you probably should.
Okay. And this is... to help also, like, the host who goes to all the effort,
exactly.
who goes through all the labor to make sure everybody has a great feast. This is kind of to put you in good standing with them, too. So
absolutely.
If you're, like, the bachelor guy or, you know, the boyfriend of the girl that comes over for dinner, you know, and all you brought was a bottle of damn wine, you could, like, quickly ingratiate yourself to the family or the host.
And I have to do that this year because my husband is actually going to be out of town. So it's just going to be me showing up without my husband to my husband's family.
Oh, wow.
A good thing they like me.
And I probably, too, need to use this because it's just going to be me showing up to my own family. And oftentimes that's just bad news because, you know,
I'll give you the answer sheet, too.
I've been the drunk uncle at many a holiday gathering.
You can cheat if you want.
I can cheat. They would expect nothing less, believe me. All right, let's go. Thanksgiving trivia to determine who does the damn dishes.
Right. Okay, so here we go. Number one, a baby turkey is called a poult, like poultry, okay? A female turkey is called a hen. What do you call a male turkey, and how did that name originate?
What do I call a male turkey?
Mm-hmm. And how did that name come about?
A male turkey is called...
You know this one. Everybody knows this one.
A c-
No. A tom. So, and we'll leave that on the floor. It just fell dead on there.
No, there is a bird, right? Isn't a male rooster... Isn't that what a male chicken's known
I
as?
I think a male chicken is called a rooster. There's no such thing as a male chicken. I think they're female chickens. I don't know. Maybe they're hens. See, you're talking to the wrong person. I'm a city boy. I know cockroaches and rats. About that.
Okay, so number. So the answer to this, again, we digress.
It's a tom. A male turkey's a tom.
Correct. It's a tom. Okay. And the name came about because Benjamin Franklin wanted the turkey to be the official U.S. bird. We all know this. So what he did, because Thomas Jefferson said, no, we're going to do the bald eagle, Franklin started calling turkeys toms in retribution to Thomas Jefferson. So every time we call a turkey a tom, we're making fun of Thomas Jefferson. Benjamin Franklin's up there going, yeah, it's still working.
Isn't that great? Our forefathers busting balls from day one.
From day one.
All right.
Number two. The first presidential pardon of a turkey was in 1947 by President Truman. After that, the pardoned turkey goes to Herndon, Virginia to live out the rest of his days in this really unfortunately named park. It's called our farm. It's called Frying Pan Park.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. I just heard that on the news the other night.
Except in 2009. Where did the turkey go after its presidential pardon?
2009. So we're talking Obama was president.
Yeah.
His first term would have been shortly thereafter being elected. He went to Obama's from Hawaii. I'm going to say, did he go to Hawaii?
No. He went to Disneyland. His name was Courage, and he went to Disneyland to be the Grand Marshal of the parade. Of course, that's what you do. Now, we do have extra credit on this one. Why are two turkeys pardoned?
Well, I mean, because if they were the only two surviving turkeys, you need to make more turkeys, so they pardon a guy and a girl, right?
No, they do both males.
They're both males? They're
both males.
Oh, okay. I have no
idea.
It's
just like in Miss America. Should the winner not be able to fulfill her duty, you need a runner-up. So should the pardoned turkey not be able to fulfill its duty, you have to have a runner-up. I found that very strange.
That is, yeah. And there are so many duties to fulfill as the pardoned turkey, which when I mentioned, I heard this on the news the other day. Coming into work, I heard a news story about this ranch down in Virginia where they go. So we can't, these turkeys never get eaten. They just go to this ranch where they live protected.
And you can go visit them.
Yeah. And there's been 2 years since Truman was president.
I think it stopped for a while. I think it they didn't do it for a while. I found weird things on this. Sometimes you will find reports that say that Truman was the first one. Sometimes you find reports that Bush Sr. was the first one. But there's pictures of Eisenhower doing it as well, pardoning the turkey. So I'm going by Truman being the first one.
But regardless, there have been decades now of turkeys being saved, sent to this ranch. I don't know the lifespan of a turkey, but aren't there like a whole lot of turkeys at this place that no one can kill and eat?
Yeah, absolutely.
What purpose do turkeys serve walking around a ranch just being...
If it's a presidentially pardoned turkey, I mean, that's kind of special.
But then now they just got old birds. How do you even make money off that? Like, somebody just got to feed these damn birds and they just walk around. And I mean,
Congress probably has a special fund just for presidentially pardoned turkeys. I would not be surprised if you don't pay hundreds of thousands of dollars every year to feed these darn turkeys. You did mention turkey duty, the duty of pardoning the turkey or turkey duty. And I do have a question about turkey duty.
Okay.
Although I just gave it away. I shouldn't have done that. Anyway, here we go. Mature turkeys have over 3,500 feathers. That's a lot of feathers.
Right.
Only male turkeys actually make a gobble gobble sound, and they only do that when they're getting ready to go to sleep. All right. If you can't see the turkeys,
right,
and you can't hear them, how do you tell the difference between their sex?
I can't see a turkey.
You can't see them and you can't hear them. How do you tell the difference? And I gave you a clue on this one.
I don't know, Senator Al Franken style with my hands. Do I just, you know, I'm kind of giving the old reach under and
it's so simple. Male turkeys, when they poop, it's kind of swirly. It's like a soft serve swirl.
Right.
Female turkeys, when they poop, it's a J. So now you know how to tell. If you're walking along and you see J poop, you know, female turkeys have been around. If it's a little spirally poop, it's male turkeys.
But if I just got one turkey and I'm trying to determine its sex and I can't see it and I can't hear it.
Give it some food.
I got to just wait till the thing takes a crap.
Yep. 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 Okay. Here's one. And this one I found really, really kind of cool. What does Mary and her little lamb have to do with Thanksgiving?
Okay. Well, let's think here. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary...
Its sheep was white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
You've got the right Mary and the right lamb, but you're way, way off.
I don't know. There's really no date-specific portion of that song, as I have recalled. Right. So what do they have to do with Thanksgiving?
So
what do they have to do with turkeys?
Yeah, Thanksgiving was celebrated for, you know, years and years, but it was President Lincoln who issued the proclamation making it a national holiday. Writer and editor Sarah Josiah Hale is credited for convincing the president to make Thanksgiving a holiday. She's most famous, however, for writing the children's poem Mary's Lamb, but we know it as Mary Had a Little Lamb. So she's the one. It took her 3 decades. She was writing people. She was nagging them left and right to make Thanksgiving a national holiday. And in fact, a lot of the states that did it as a holiday did it because of her. She's really the driving force of making Thanksgiving the day that it is today.
And also known for her hit song.
Mary Had a Little, it was just a poem at the time.
Her hit poem.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay, first of all, damn your game so far.
You're not getting any points, are you?
I got zero. Like, I'm about ready to put one of the gloves on because I think I'm going to be doing some dishes here. I'm one glove away from standing at the sink for 4 hours.
Okay, so we all know that Thanksgiving is celebrated on the fourth Thursday in November, except for 2 years.
Okay.
2 years, it was bumped up to the third. What's my question here? I got to make sure I get this question, not give away the answer here.
Wait, recap that question. No, say that last part again.
All right.
It got bumped up.
Okay, for 2 years, Thanksgiving was celebrated on the third Thursday in November. What were the years we had Thanksgiving early?
It got bumped up to the second Thursday.
The third.
In these 2 years.
Third Thursday. So it was a week earlier.
Right.
In 2 years. There's extra credit on this. Not all states move Thanksgiving up a week. How many states refuse to?
So the first part of the first question is, what years did Thanksgiving move up to the second Thursday of the month?
The third.
Third Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. What years did Thanksgiving get moved up early? And I will say 19, maybe something to do with World War II.
So good.
1940s.
But it had nothing to do with World War II. It had to do with the Depression.
It probably had to do with like a children's freaking poem or something, right? No. Okay.
It was because of the Depression.
Right.
And they wanted to extend the holiday shopping. And so in 1939 and 1940, it was bumped up a week. People didn't like it. In fact, only 16 states refused to do the change.
So in 1939 going into 1939
and 1940, it was pushed up a week earlier and then it moved back. And in 1942, Congress passed a law and said it has to be the fourth.
So it was coming out of the Depression.
Yep.
And
they wanted to extend
holiday shopping season. I don't get it. Why would having an extra week help people that didn't have any money? Like, everyone was poor back then.
Well, yeah, but you still could spend money. You just couldn't spend as much. And so if you drag out the holiday shopping, then it's going to give you more time to spend the money, the little money that you have.
Huh. You know what I do know about the 1930s and 40s and like the Depression era?
Yeah.
Turkey tradition.
What?
Is that we used to eat the turkey's butt. Well, not really the butt. There's a part of the rump where the feathers go in.
Okay.
And it's really this fatty kind of skin flap, so to speak, that's where the feathers, the plumage would come from.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where they would all be anchored to the turkey's body. Well, we don't really eat this flap anymore.
Yeah.
But it is
back
a delicacy.
In the day, there was a lot of stuff that was
and
that,
they ugh. Used to eat it back in the day, right? So as the turkey would cook, this thing would like not really fry up, but because it's so fatty, it would just, kind of
crisp
cook
up,
and crisp up and almost to the consistency of like a pork rind.
Ugh.
And it's a delicacy and it's called the Pope's nose.
No, thank you.
Or a colloquialism to describe that piece is the Pope's nose.
And now I'm going to change the subject to a different Thanksgiving thing, not turkey.
Do I get extra points for that, for knowing what turkey butt is?
You get 1 point because that's all you've gotten.
No,
so
excuse me. Turkey tail.
Turkey
that's what
tail.
It's called. Turkey
oh,
tail.
Makes more sense. And turkey it sounds tail. A little bit better than turkey butt. I'm going to eat turkey butt tonight. No. All right. More than 770 million pounds of cranberries are consumed on Thanksgiving. If you strung all the cranberries produced in North America, and this was just in 2007, took all those cranberries, you could stretch it from Boston to LA 600 times. So that's a lot of cranberries.
Whoa.
How do you tell if a cranberry is ready? If it's ready to pick, how do you tell that?
Well, I suppose color. I mean, it has to be a certain red because, like most things, right, it goes through some kind of growth cycle, and like pumpkins begin green and then they get, you know, lighter and lighter and then eventually turn to the orange and that, you know, then, you know, it's ripe. So I'm going to say color.
Nope. You bounce it. If it bounces more than 4 inches, then it's ready. You bounce cranberries.
You mean to tell me out there in a cranberry bog, how are they bouncing it? Don't they grow in water?
No, they that's a fallacy. You think that because sometimes they'll flood the bogs because that's how they could tell if they're ready to pick too, because they'll float. So that's a lot of times you'll see it there if they're floating in the bogs, but you bounce it. Now, I do have extra credit on this.
But you mean to tell me when the bog isn't flooded dirt and the farmer's out there walking around his cranberry field, he's bouncing cranberries off the ground?
I haven't tried it, but I'm going to. I'm going to get some nice fresh cranberries and I'm going to bounce it at my mother-in-law's house and see if they bounce. And if they do, then I'm going to get my nephews to start bouncing cranberries all over the place.
And it's got to go 4 inches.
At least 4 inches. Okay, extra credit on this one. The cranberry is one of only three fruits that are native to North America. What are the other two native fruits? And if you say me, I'm going to smack you upside the head.
I'm doing. You just stole my joke. Okay. Fruits native to North America. I'm going to say, let me see, what else is? Cranberry, we've got Florida, Arizona, Southern California, the orange?
Nope.
Damn.
I think those came from Spain, maybe.
Let me see.
You'll never get it.
Watermelon.
It threw me. It completely threw me.
No, I still got more guesses. I got 0 points.
You're getting points taken away by every wrong guess.
No, erroneous. You did not say that in the initial rules.
I did say that in the rules.
I'm playing new revised edition. God bless.
You're never going to get it.
Apple. Johnny Appleseed.
No.
What is more American than an apple?
Grapes and blueberries.
Really?
Those are the only other two. Yeah, cranberries.
And you say indigenous
grapes,
to North America.
Fruit.
Indigenous to our
North America. Yes.
North America, Mexico.
Not Mexico,
or
I think just
Canada.
North America. Well, Canada's North America.
Well, so is Mexico.
Central.
I failed this quiz and geography.
We'll just move on to the next one.
Blueberry. No, same again, though. Yeah, it's blueberries.
And grapes.
And grapes. And cranberries.
And cranberries.
And those are the only three indigenous to
North America.
And then everything else was brought over here. Isn't that crazy?
Isn't
and yet we crank out so much orange juice.
I know.
So much citrus fruit. We got pineapples growing.
Everything.
We strawberries, for crying out loud, is like the entire commerce of Central California, right?
We should be thankful that we live in North America this Thanksgiving because we can grow all these things. How'd you like that as a little Thanksgiving thing?
Aw.
All right. In 2007, Americans ate 690 tons of turkey during Thanksgiving. That's equal to the weight of the entire population of what island nation? This threw me. I could not believe this.
We ate
690 tons of turkey, and that's equal to the entire the weight of the entire population of what island nation?
So what island nation's inhabitants would only weigh 690 tons collectively? We're talking small island. We're talking, and this is globally, right? I have the whole world to pick from here. Okay. How many people live in the island of Fiji? Even smaller. Bora Bora.
Nope.
No.
It's going to be larger. You need to think larger than that.
Really?
Yeah. It's Singapore. So every Thanksgiving, basically,
we eat.
The United States of America eats the entire population of Singapore.
That's
why we're so fat.
Hungry. Western American hungry.
And on that same note, this is for extra credit.
That's great.
What's the average per person amount of fat that you eat on Thanksgiving? This is so vile.
The amount of average of fat a person consumes on Thanksgiving. Yep. Can I get a hint? Is
it's
like grams
or
pounds?
It's 3 to 4 times the amount of fat you should eat in a day.
You should probably only eat a couple grams of fat in a day. So I guess I'll say 10 grams?
229 grams of fat on average per Thanksgiving meal.
Oh, yeah. What am I saying? 10 grams. There's like 10 grams of fat I ate in my stack coffee last night for Halloween candy. It's 200 and what grams?
229 grams of fat per person.
229 grams of fat. And then, okay, so then you got to also figure part of the population's vegan, part of the population, like, right, you know, doesn't even like that, fatty
my husband's a vegetarian, but he eats a lot of fat in, it'll come in butter and things like that, in the rutabagas and the mashed potatoes and things like that. So just because he doesn't eat the turkey,
right,
or the meat, he does get his fat other places, because that's all it is. Thanksgiving is just food that you normally would not eat.
Yeah, no, right. Like bread stuffed inside of a bird, covered
bread stuffed in bread, stuffed in bread, covered in bread,
covered in a fatty gelatinous gravy. Like 292 grams of fat. I think we'd be better off eating the island nation of Singapore every year. So. They'd probably be lower in fat. You know,
their diet's better than ours.
What are you eating? I'm eating Young Duck Kim. This guy, he was skinny. Let me tell you, I'm going to need his brother too.
Okay, in 1953. The TV dinner was born when a Swanson employee overordered turkey and was left with 260 tons of frozen birds. That's a lot.
Yeah.
How many refrigerated railroad cars does it take to hold 260 tons of turkey?
In TV dinner form or just like in general? Turkey. Like just 260 tons of turkey. Yep. How many railroad cars would that take?
Yep.
2 tons? So 260?
Yes.
I'm going to say maybe if they're 2-ton railroad cars, then 130 railroad cars.
10. But there is extra credit on this one, but you'll never get it.
All right. We're super fat, but boy, are we efficient at transportation.
Right?
We can cram that much.
We can move food.
We can move us some food, man.
All right, so extra credit. And there's two questions here for this extra credit. The first TV dinner was turkey, cornbread dressing, gravy, peas, and sweet potatoes, both topped with little pats of butter.
Butter.
How many of the first TV dinners were made, and what did they cost? And let me give you a clue
on
this.
You mean the first production run? How many did they produce?
The first mistake. Now, the first mistake was this first year, with out of the 260 tons of extra turkey.
Okay.
The next year, Swanson did real TV dinners and they sold 10 million. So the first year is going to be lower than that. I'll give you that much of a clue.
Okay.
So it went from this number to 10 million.
It's introductory year, so to speak.
Yes. The mistake year.
And if you've ever had a TV dinner, it does feel like a mistake sometimes. You know, like you're done. I mean, it was good, but boy, it was not good for you. How many were in its introductory year?
Yeah.
I guess they sold, you said 10 million were year two?
Yep.
So it took the nation by storm. There had to be at least enough people to talk and create the buzz to sell 10 million in its second year. It had to be a popular item. I would suspect then its initial year, it did 1.5 million?
Nope, 5,000.
It went from 5,000 people purchasing these aluminum foil
10 million
wrapped dinners to 10 million. What was how did they go from 5,000 to 10 million?
Because we're lazy Americans. We like to eat. We're done eating Singapore. We need to eat something else. So this is easy. And it cost 98 cents. The first one cost 98 cents.
So what did they like increase their advertising budget by like a gajillion percent? Because to go from 5,000 in sales, think about it. You could sell 5,000 products in the United States and I still wouldn't even know what that product is.
Yeah. But it changed everything. It just made it so much easier. The TV was just starting to really break in at this point. Because we're talking 53. And so 54 is when they did the 10 million. So TV was really starting to break in. So everybody wanted to sit there. And it was after the war. Things were a little bit easier. This was kind of like a high class thing. Now we look at it as like, ugh, TV dinner?
Yeah, right.
Right.
But at the time, it was considered a great meal. Like people would think they were being a responsible parent by feeding the family this for dinner.
Do you actually remember having the metal ones where you peeled the metal off the top?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean.
It's so unfulfilling now with a little plastic thing. Oh, I remember earlier than that.
Because you're old.
I'm old. Okay. And on that note, turkeys are 70% white meat and 30% dark meat. 2/3 of Americans prefer white to dark meat. But what percentage of Americans actually eat turkey on Thanksgiving?
Wow, complex question. I think that's why I'm at a fat zero so far for the score. Say the question again.
You're at a negative.
So you said.
I know. I did this on purpose to kind of throw people off. Turkeys are 70% white meat and 30% dark meat.
Right.
2/3 of Americans prefer white to dark meat. I am not one of those.
2/3 of Americans like white meat more than dark meat.
But what percentage of Americans actually eat turkey on Thanksgiving?
What percentage of Americans eat turkey on Thanksgiving? I don't think you can be American if you don't eat the turkey on Thanksgiving. I'm going to go, that's got to be like in the 80s, 87% of Americans.
You're so close. I'm going to give you this one. It's 88%.
Oh my God.
So you have a point.
Random guess. Yeah. Cause if you're not eating the turkey, you know, I don't know. Who's having sushi on Thanksgiving? That's right.
The odd question. What do you have? If you don't have turkey, what do you have?
I mean, ham, I'll give you an exception because it's also an American delicacy in my eyes. But yeah. And then you said, what is it? The percentages? 80% of the people like white meat?
Well, no, it's 70% to 30% and 2/3 of Americans like white meat.
2/3 of Americans
like
white
meat or dark meat? I'm dark meat.
I like white meat. My wife likes the dark meat.
And there's more fat in it.
Yeah, she loves the dark meat, which brings me to my joke. I'm really surprised she married me. Hey-o!
Ba-dum-ba.
Says the white guy over here.
Here's some extra credit for that one. All right. On average, how many turkeys are cooked each year?
On average, how many turkeys get cooked every year? Wow. Well, again, we eat enough to equal the population of Singapore, 600 and some tons. And the birds anywhere from 20 to 30 pounds.
Uh-huh.
My pound to ton conversion calculator is
I would have been so impressed if you were able to do this.
In the room. Christ.
It's kind of a trick answer.
I'm going to say it's got to be. How many families? It's in the millions, right? We're talking, we've got it 270 some million people in this country, 100 million turkeys.
68 million turkeys are cooked each year.
I wasn't that far off.
46 million for Thanksgiving and another 22 million for Christmas.
Wow.
Give or take one or two throughout the year too.
Right. I mean, you know, somebody's got to make those slices and sandwiches all year long that we eat.
Yeah.
Really, 68 million birds a year.
That's a lot. Singapore.
Num num. And I'm coming for you, Bangkok.
Here's the last question.
Not even in Singapore, was it? Bangkok's not even in Singapore, is it?
No. Bangkok. I'm thinking of the song. It doesn't matter. Thailand. Okay. My mother-in-law makes the absolute best pumpkin pies ever. At the first Thanksgiving in 1621, the pilgrims didn't serve pumpkin pie. How did they serve pumpkins? And there is an extra credit on this one, too.
Pilgrims did not my mind's blown that pilgrims didn't have pumpkin pie. I thought that was the most legit thing on the table next to the turkey.
While you're thinking of this, in my research, there was an oven back in 1621. They did have an oven that they would make. I forget how to describe it. It was just this weird kind of oven. It cost $3, which was more than a week's salary. So nobody really baked anything.
Whoa.
Because you really couldn't afford the oven.
That yet they would cook over fires, I'm assuming. They obviously heated their food. They had to have some way to cook the meat. It wasn't in an enclosed thing like an oven. Okay. Mm-hmm. They didn't make pie, they made a smoothie. No.
That's close though.
I made some kind of porridge, some sort of pumpkin soup.
You're so close. Stew. They stewed their pumpkins.
Ugh. And so we'd sit around with bowls of
pumpkin
warm
stew.
Pumpkins.
This sounds gross, doesn't it?
Really?
The extra credit on this. How many pumpkin pies does my mother-in-law make each Thanksgiving? And I know this is really...
Is this like anyone's family's mother-in-law?
No,
or
is this
specific
mine.
To
this,
your
this
mother?
This is mine. Now, and because of the answer on this one, And this is, you know, and she, if she's listening, I love you, Joanne, but it doesn't matter how many she makes. As long as she makes the one that's special just for me that I get to take home. I don't care how many she makes, as long as I have that one to take home.
She makes you an individual pie?
She makes me
pie?
An individual one.
A full-size pie or just a like a little mini one? A full-size
one. I have a wonderful mother-in-law.
That's really, my mother-in-law doesn't.
So Joanne,
how many pies does Joanne make? Pumpkin pies does Joanne make every year?
She usually makes about three to four.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're so good. They're absolutely so good. But I don't care because
for people
always
playing this game around the country, can you substitute the like another mother-in-law?
You could try,
for this?
But it's more important that they talk about my mother-in-law because she's the best, and she is making the pumpkin pies for me even as we talk. So everybody needs to just say how good Joanne's pumpkin pies are.
Your mom, she's got good pies.
That's it. And the name of this, if people are looking for it, the title of this is Twisted Turkey Trivia to Test Thanksgiving Thoughts.
Twisted Turkey Trivia to Test Thanksgiving Thoughts. And that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 T's. That's...
You don't get a point for counting that up.
That's T to the 7th right there. That's the T7 quiz, yo. I like it. Jonathan Kopanger, the...
And just so everybody knows, Phil is available to do everybody's dishes for Thanksgiving because he had such a horrible score.
I know. This totally sucks. This is the worst game ever. I am now officially doing dishes. This is the reason why I bring booze to Thanksgiving dinner so that I can get everybody liquored up. And I'll even make the specialty cocktails so that I know everyone's going to forget and get so hammered. Yeah. They're going to forget to assign me an actual duty. So that's my way out of this. Have yourself a happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Enjoy eating your weight in Singapore.
I will.
Your mom, she's got good pies.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.